He takes a deep breath.
You must promise me that if I do something you don't like, if you want to stop, you will tell me.
Yes. I know he will not do anything to harm me, and I know I will never want him to stop. I try to fight my blush. Do you take the herbs?
Aye.
He says, smiling.
No chance of making a pup this time.
I push against his chest and start to turn around, remembering what I was told about how wolves like to take their women. Callum gently grabs my arm and pulls me back.
Where are you going?
I thought that was how wolves... My cheeks flame. I thought that was how you did it. He smiles, though I am glad he doesn't laugh at me.
Sometimes.
He says.
But I want to be face to face with you tonight.
Kissing me softly, he guides himself to my entrance. He holds my gaze slowly as he pushes. He groans as he fills me. There's a pinch of pain, and I tense. He feels impossibly big. I do not think he fits. My heart is beating fast. He stills, resting his weight on his forearms on either side of my head. He's breathing hard, his biceps clenched. His expression is strained. I wonder why he isn't moving, whether he expects me to do something. But then, as he waits, my body starts to adjust to him. He moves slowly, and the pain transcends into something else, something unfamiliar, something I want more of. Pressure and friction, and the feeling of being completely filled. Oh, I say softly. My body relaxes, then tenses again in an entirely different way. My breathing becomes steadier, then faster. I grip onto his shoulders, sinking my fingers into his muscle. As if sensing the change in me, he pushes fully inside me. A growl builds in his throat as I cry out. His hand slides into my hair, and he claims my mouth with his as he rolls his hips again. Moaning, I open myself fully for him, hooking my hands around his neck and pulling him closer. He dips his mouth to my throat, where he kisses and sucks and nibbles.
I've wanted this for so long.
His voice is strained as he murmurs into my ear.
I've wanted you for so long.
I slide my hands down to his shoulders, feeling the tension in his muscles. His skin is hot and damp, and I feel the restraint rippling through him. Even now, he is holding back, afraid I will break, afraid he will scare me away. I grab his face. His jawline is taut, and the wolf flickers in his eyes. I will not break, I whisper. Take what you want from me. I want to give it to you.
Rory!
His voice is strained. Take it. I sink my teeth into his bottom lip. Determined to provoke that primal side of him. Determined that he will take what he wants from me, what he needs. He growls, and he plunges into me, hard. I cry out.
Fuck!
He curls his fist into the cushion by my head.
Sorry.
Take it, I growl. I tilt my hips to take him deeper, desperate for more of him, and slide my hands down his back, urging him further inside. He groans, and I feel his submission. His shoulders relax beneath my fingertips. His expression changes from restrained to hungry. The wolf glows behind his eyes.
I told you you were a demanding, fearsome creature.
He whispers. You also told me you would give me what I want. He thrusts into me, hard and deep. Goddess! He groans loudly. I hook my legs around his waist, curling my ankles around his back, and he takes me deeper still. The change in pressure and friction provokes harsh sounds from the back of my throat. Feral sounds. Sound I did not know I was capable of. I grip onto his shoulders, my fingernails digging into his skin.
So beautiful.
He murmurs.
So beautiful.
Something within him calls to something wild within me. Delicious tension builds as he moves deeper, faster, and I cannot get enough. I kiss his neck. I sink my teeth into his shoulder. I grip him tighter. Goddess! My head tilts back.
Look at me, princess.
Murmurs Callum. I bring my eyes back to his. There is something like awe in his, flickering with the wolf that lingers there. He plunges deep inside me, and it pushes me over the edge. Release surges through me, and I come completely undone beneath him. I cry out, gripping tightly onto him as my whole body shudders. His rhythm becomes feverish, his shoulders tense and his cheeks redden. His face is strained for a moment. Then he groans, long and hard, his muscles spasming beneath my fingers as he spills into me.
Fuck! Aurora, fuck!
When he's finally stilled, he crumples down on top of me, dipping his face into the nook between my neck and my shoulder. He's murmuring under his breath in a language I do not understand. I can feel his heartbeat thudding against my chest, beating as quickly and frantically as mine. His weight is almost too much for me to bear, but I cannot bear the thought of him being further away from me either. I run my hand over the back of his neck, holding him close. After a moment, he slides his hand out of my hair and props himself on his forearms. The feral look is gone from his expression. He looks relaxed, soft. There's a playful glint in his eyes. He kisses my nose, then my mouth. He looks down at me, and a slow smile spreads across his face. I return it, an unfamiliar feeling of elation bubbling inside me. He laughs, and I laugh too. I do not know what is so funny, but we laugh until my cheeks ache and tears spring into Callum's eyes. And all the while, he looks at me as though I am the most wonderful thing he has set eyes upon. I think we should do that again sometime, I say, stroking his cheek.
You shouldn't have said that, princess.
He brushes his lips against my throat, then my jaw.
I fear we shall never make it to Highfell.
Callum wakes me twice in the night. He takes pleasure from me languidly, sleepily, his body warm and comforting as he draws moans from my lips and groans softly in my ear. When we fall asleep, we are a tangle of limbs. His warmth prevents the need for me to cover myself in the furs and rugs laid on the ground. I wake first thing in the morning. The sunlight creates streaks of cold light on the tent's surface. The trees whisper outside in the breeze. My back is flush to Callum's chest, and his arm is slung possessively over my waist. He snores gently in my ear. I want to stay where I am, but I need to relieve myself, so I try to disentangle myself from him. He growls once, his eyes still closed. Get off me, you brute, I whisper, not bothering to suppress my smile, as I remember the first time we were in this position, just after Callum had taken me from Sebastian's castle. He grunts, and I wriggle free. Not wanting to dress yet, I pull on Callum's big shirt, letting it hang down to my knees. I crawl out of the tent and relieve myself behind a bush nearby. When I'm done, I wander onto the shore and look out at the rippling grey waters of the loch. I shiver. The air is bitingly cold. The wind whips my hair, and the pebbles are cold and hard beneath my bare feet. The sky is grey, and rain might be coming. Yet I smile. The water laps the shore near my feet. All I can hear is my own breathing and the gulls that swoop down to the water to catch fish. I am happy. I am safe. I am free. There's a crunch of pebbles behind me. I do not turn around. I can sense him, smell him. He hooks an arm around my waist and nuzzles the back of my neck. It's beautiful out here, I say, my breath misting in front of my face.
Aye, just wait until we get to Highfell.
He nibbles my earlobe.
The mountains and lochs around here are small wee things in comparison.
He slips a hand beneath my shirt and runs his hand along my stomach. I'm aware of his hard length, pressing against my lower back. You seem to be missing your clothes, I say.
Aye. Imagine my horror when I went to get dressed, only to find my shirt was gone.
I giggle. So that is why you came outside completely naked. You were looking for your shirt?
Oh, aye. Luckily, I have found the thief.
He nips my ear with his teeth, and a burst of heat surges through me. Aren't you cold? I ask.
No.
He runs his hand down my stomach, then slides it between my legs.
And you?
He strokes me, and I moan, pressing my head back against his shoulder. His warmth wraps around me, and his fingers stoke a fire in my center. No, I whimper. He rubs slow, excruciating circles on the most sensitive part of me until I cry out with release, my knees buckling. He throws me over his shoulder. His shirt rides up to my chest, exposing my most intimate parts to the elements. I squeal. Callum! He chuckles.
What? I'm giving the girl something to look at.
He taps my bum lightly, and I squeal again. While I'm laughing, my legs flailing over his shoulders, he carries me back to the tent. When Callum is done with me, his spirits are higher than I think I've ever seen them. He announces that his appetite is simply too large for bread and cheese this morning, and he will hunt us something proper for breakfast. After getting dressed, I sit on a rock and wait for him on the shore where we ate last night. I warm my hands by the fire we built before he left. I cannot fight the smile on my face. I feel so different from the woman I was before I came to the Northlands. I am dirty and unbathed. I am wearing breeches. I can smell Callum on my skin. I am sore, and I do not know how that can be a good feeling, but somehow it is. I feel full, content, excited for the future, excited for Highfell. You're free, the wind seems to whisper. You're free. I hear the crunch of pebbles close by, and I turn, not expecting Callum back so soon. My stomach drops, and I jump to my feet. Two men in kilts are walking along the shore, 50 meters or so away. One of them looks right at me, and I recognize him. It's Duncan, the male I met when I arrived at the castle. My blood turns to ice. They're James's men.
Over there,
he points at me.
They're still here. She's over there.
I turn, and I run. Heavy footsteps pound after me. I tear across the shore, then scramble up the rocks by our tent. I run as fast as I can over the sloping land, to the forest ahead where Callum went hunting. The shouts of the men behind me get closer. Callum! I yell. I run as fast as I can, bumping my shoulders against tree trunks as the forest gets deeper, darker. Thorns snag my shirt, and pine needles crunch beneath my boots. Callum! I trip over a fallen branch and go flying into the dirt. I scrape my hands and knees on stones and twigs that litter the floor. Get up, the trees whisper. Get up. I scramble to my feet, but it's too late. 5 men enter the clearing. No, this can't be happening. I step warily back, and I hit something solid. A strong arm hooks around my waist, and the familiar scent of the forest at night washes over me. My blood turns to ice. I buck against the male who holds me, but he merely tightens his grip. He pushes a cloth over my mouth, and I smell something chemical that makes my eyelids droop. No, no, no. He dips his mouth to my ear. His tone is as dark and smooth as the shadows that surround us.
You should have run faster, little rabbit.
Then, black. Chapter 53. Drip, drip, drip. I'm cold. There's something hard beneath me. The air smells like mildew. Somewhere, something is dripping.
You should bathe her before you present her to him. She smells strongly of the Highfell wolf.
A deep, unfamiliar male voice rumbles through my fuzzy mind and makes my muscles harden.
He's territorial. It works in our favor.
This voice is familiar. Bored. A dark, smooth caress on my senses. I force my eyes open, but I remain perfectly still. I do not know what is happening. I do not know where I am. I'm like a rabbit in a trap, trying to avoid attention from predators. I calm my pulse and take stock of my surroundings. I'm lying on a cot in the corner of a small, dank dungeon cell. The stone walls are wet and the air is thick. We're underground, I presume. Through the bars, two men lean against the opposite wall, torchlight dancing over their features as they talk. One I have never seen before. He is tall and broad-shouldered. His dreadlocks are tied back from his face to reveal bright brown eyes and a chiseled jaw. He is not dressed like a wolf. He wears black leather breeches and a white shirt, sleeves rolled up to expose tattoos inked on his dark skin. The other is Blake. His dark clothes make him look at one with the shadows. A jolt of hate surges through me, so powerful I almost cry out. The worst thing is, I feel betrayed. I shouldn't. I should have known Blake would turn on me. How naive I have been. I try to calm my breathing, afraid they will turn their attention to me. I need to think. I need to get out of here.
The Highfell Wolf is secure, by the way,
says the man. My pulse accelerates. Callum.
Good.
Blake adjusts his cuffs.
Did he cause you any trouble? A little. We handled it. He may cause you some trouble when all this is through, though. I imagine so. And what news from the continent? My men looked. Couldn't find him. And the snowlands. Cold. Dark. They fear the night that spreads. Interesting, is it?
Blake shrugs.
Depends on your interests, I suppose. We have an eavesdropper, by the way.
My heart stills as I squeeze my eyes shut.
Oh yes, I know,
replies Blake.
She's been awake for a couple of minutes now.
My blood runs cold and I grit my teeth, trying not to shudder.
I'll leave you to it,
says the man.
See you back at the castle once this is all through. Yes. Be careful with him, Jack. I need him alive. Right. I'll do my best.
There's the sound of a door opening and shutting. Jack's footsteps fade into nothing. For a moment, the air is thick with silence.
There's no use pretending to be asleep, little rabbit.
Blake's voice is like silk.
I can hear your heartbeat.
He walks to the barred wall of my cell, his footsteps echoing in the cavernous dark. I open my eyes to glare at him.
Where's Callum?
My voice is hoarse. I'm not sure if it's the aftermath of whatever Blake drugged me with, or from screaming in the forest.
The rabbit wakes up in a cage, and her first thought is of the wolf who captured her.
He clucks his tongue. Eyes dancing in the firelight.
You are my captor, you idiotic man.
A dimple punctures his cheek.
I suppose I am. Callum is not here, but he is safe. You will be too, if you play along.
I push myself upright. My head pounds, and I put a hand to my forehead, wincing. Feeling Blake assessing my weakness, I quickly force my arms to my sides and slide my legs off the cot. I straighten my back.
Play along with what?
You'll find out soon enough.
If I felt stronger, I would strangle him through the bars. Blake smirks as though he knows it. It stokes a fire within me so fierce, I fear I will combust. If it weren't for the bitingly cold air, perhaps I would.
My orders are to take you to the Wolf King, now you are awake,
he says. I calm my breathing. I need to be smart. I need to find out where I am and what his intentions are with me if I am to escape. I swallow.
Where are we?
An abandoned manor house, close to the borderlands.
My stomach drops.
Is Sebastian coming for me?
Yes.
The temperature in the cell seems to drop even further. You truly are a snake, you know.
Oh, come now. It's not so bad. I could have been worse to you.
You drugged me. You captured Callum. You let us go. Then you came after us anyway. You locked me in a cell, and now you're handing me back to Sebastian. You acted as if you were helping me and forfeited my life anyway. How could you possibly have been worse? I trusted you, I don't say. But the words spread through my body like poison. He leans against the bars, dangling his arms in the gaps between. His gaze lazily travels to some handcuffs hanging from the ceiling in the center of the cell.
I could have bound you in chains.
A feral sound escapes my throat, and Blake laughs. You're not even a snake, I spit. You're a coward. I know why you're doing this, you know. You're not as mysterious as you like to think.
Oh, no. Pray tell me, why am I doing this?
His eyes glint in the darkness. You weren't born into the kingdom of wolves, were you? That must be lonely, to be a wolf, but be born among men. How hard it must have been for you, and how pathetic for you to want so desperately to belong to them that you lie and scheme and play with people's lives. Though I suppose handing me to James will gain you the favor you desire. Blake clucks his tongue. The gesture is almost teasing, but something cold flickers across his face.
Come now, you're smarter than that. Do you truly think I want to belong to the wolves? My father was a wolf, and I killed him.
He steps back, unbuttons his sleeve, and rolls it up to reveal the jagged white scar on his forearm.
A wolf bit me and activated this curse, and I killed him too. And the wolf gene that has always been a part of me, well, it condemned me to the darkness from the moment I was born.
He smiles coolly.
No, darling, I do not want to belong to the wolves. I want to rule them.
Darkness emanates from him, twisting with the shadows. For a moment, words evade me. Then I laugh, shaking my head. You wish to be the Wolf King?
Is that truly so amusing?
Amusing? No, deranged perhaps.
Perhaps.
He shrugs, pulling his sleeve back down, seemingly unaffected by my derision.
Perhaps not.
What if I tell James what you've just told me?
You won't.
How can you be so sure?
Because if something were to happen to me, what do you think would become of Callum?
He fastens the silver button on his cuff.
What will become of you?
My soul hardens. Every bone in my body turns to ice. My muscles stiffen, and my fingers dig into the thin mattress that sits on the cot. Blake pulls a key from the pocket of his breeches and turns it in the lock. The door screeches open. He holds out his arm for me to take.
Come, James is expecting us.
My laugh sounds bitter and twisted. Why on earth would I come with you?
Play along with my game, and you might survive. You may even avoid being sent back to the Southlands.
I grit my teeth. How does giving me to James help you to get what you want? He gestures with his head.
Come and find out.
When I make no sign of movement, he exhales. His breath plumes in front of his face.
When I present you to the king, you will be presented with a choice,
he says.
Choose correctly, and you will be safe. You have my word.
Your word means very little to me, Blake. He shrugs.
Of course. I could come in there and throw you over my shoulder. I could carry you kicking and screaming to the Wolf King. Is that truly how you wish to present yourself to him, when so much is at stake?
He holds out his hand. I glare at it, then him. I know he is serious. If he came into this cell, I could hit him and try to run free. But I felt the strength in his body when we danced. I recall Callum telling me that Blake is stronger, more competent than he seems. Perhaps it would give me some satisfaction to inflict even the smallest bit of damage onto this snake. But he will win in the end. And then what? No, I will not fight him. Not yet. I will bide my time. I will be smart. I will find out what the Wolf King has to say.
Perhaps I can make my own bargain. Perhaps I can play my own game. I take a deep breath and I rise. I brush some mud from my breeches, watching as it scatters across the stone floor. My legs are shaking, but I raise my head as I cross the cell, ignoring Blake's outstretched arm. I hate you, I tell him through gritted teeth, as I walk past him into the gloomy corridor.
Oh, darling, I know.
The door to the cell swings shut, and he falls into step beside me. We walk up some stone steps. They're damp and they glisten in the torchlight. At the top, Blake unlocks another door, then leads me down a tired walkway, the walls lined with fading portraits. There's a murmur of voices in one of the rooms that we pass, and I wonder how many men James has brought with him. If there are not too many, perhaps I can escape them. I shiver, wishing I had my cloak as we head up a stairway and toward a door at the end of the landing. Blake taps his knuckles against it, and my stomach clenches when he pushes it open. He stands back to let me enter first. I'm hit first by a wave of warmth from the fire in the hearth. We appear to be in some kind of drawing room. There is a worn rug on the floorboards, a writing desk by one wall, and a few battered leather armchairs collected around the fireplace. James sits in one of them. His presence seems to fill the entire room. It is not just his size, it is the power that radiates from his eyes when they land on mine. His brown shoulder-length hair is wild, and he is dressed in his red kilt, slightly different to Callum's. The sleeves of his cream shirt are rolled up to his elbows, and I notice one of the tattoos on his forearms is a flower, a contrast to his otherwise hard demeanor. I grit my teeth and hold my head high. I won't cower before him. He scratches his jaw, then smiles.
Take a seat.
I sit in the armchair opposite him. Blake crosses the room and leans by the wall beside the window.
I apologize for how I got you here, princess.
I flinch at him calling me that, even though it is my title. It is what Callum calls me, and it sounds wrong coming from his mouth.
You shouldn't have run from me.
I do not reply. What does he expect me to say?
I have sent word to Sebastian. He is on his way.
He won't give you the heart of the moon, you know, I say. James runs a hand over his mouth.
No, I doubt he will.
I try to remain calm, even though I feel as if there's a tornado in my chest. So what is the point in all this? Why give me back to him? Why betray your brother? His eyebrows raise.
You think I'm the one betraying my brother? He turned his back on his people when he stole you from me.
I am not an object to be stolen, and you haven't answered my question. He shifts back in his armchair, the leather squeaking beneath him.
I don't give a shit about the heart of the moon. Men win wars, not goddess-blessed relics. If Sebastian brings it, then great. If not, no harm done. What I care about is Sebastian. I want to hurt him. I can use you to do that.
I wish he could not hear my pulse as I stiffen. You're going to hurt me?
Did Callum tell you what happened to our mother?
Asks James. He said she ran away.
Aye, she did. I never had the heart to tell him what happened next.
Despite the blazing heat coming from the fire, my blood runs cold. What?
Sebastian got her. I do not know what she endured in the weeks before, but I know what happened on the night of the full moon. My father received confirmation a few days after, when a fur coat arrived on our doorstep.
A wave of nausea rolls through me so strongly that I grip the arms of the chair. I know that Sebastian is a monster, but finding out that he tortured Callum's mother is almost too much to bear. What's more, James knew this and let Callum travel to King City to look for her anyway. You never told Callum? My voice is quiet, almost inaudible.
I wanted to spare the lad.
He grits his teeth, his jaw hardening. I wonder if he really believes this, or whether keeping this information from Callum was part of his ploy to keep hold of the throne.
I have done more for him than he will ever appreciate, says James. And this is how he repays me, by taking you away.
My pulse accelerates. Sebastian does not care about me, you know. If you hurt me, it will mean nothing to him. He stares at me long and hard.
Perhaps. Perhaps not. So here is where I offer you a choice. The first option is that we go ahead with the trade. Sebastian will come for you, and I will give you to him. He will bring his men, and I will bring mine. And when he gives me whatever piece of shit rock he thinks I'm going to believe is the heart of the moon, and when I've handed you over, war will break out. I will do whatever it takes to kill him, and perhaps he'll get away with you, or perhaps you'll get caught in the crossfire. Either way, I do not think your chances of survival are very high.
So, what is the other option?
The other option is that I take something from him. Something that will humiliate him. Something that will send a message to all of the Southlands.
He leans forward in his chair, resting his elbow on the arm.
You're a bonny lass, Aurora, and it's about time I found myself a queen. The other option is you marry me.
Chapter 54. It is like I am underwater. The room swims around me. The fire in the hearth, the battered armchairs, and James's face pulse in and out of focus. He wants me to marry him. Fire erupts from the pits of my soul. It surges through my body and spills out of my mouth before I can even weigh up my options. No, I say. My pulse calms. The edges of the wooden fireplace, the pattern of the sun on the worn rug, the tattered leather beneath my fingertips, all come back into focus. James shifts, and the chair squeaks beneath his large frame. His jaw hardens, just like Callum's does when he is displeased.
No,
he says. No. Blake watches from the window, and there's a calculated look of disinterest on his face.
I offer my protection and the most coveted position for a woman among the Kingdom of Wolves, and you turn me down.
James's voice is soft, but there's a note of anger rippling through it. You offer me protection from a danger of your own devising. You know that Callum and I are... I trail off, not sure how to end that sentence.
You and Callum are what? Married? No. Does your union with him offer any political advantage? No. You've gone off and lived your wee fantasy for a while. But it's time to come back to the real world now, Aurora. Blake told me you were smart. Do not disappoint me.
I grit my teeth, trying to swallow the rising storm. Of course Blake had something to do with this. I glare at James. Callum is your brother. And I think that I am falling in love with him.
Aye, and he needs to come back and live in the real world too.
He shakes his head, his brown hair brushing his broad shoulders.
Callum cannot offer you anything. I am the king, and I am offering to make you my queen. Do not be a fool, Aurora.
My breathing is fast. Waves of venom ripple through me, tainted by fear. I am like a cornered viper. A wall behind my back and a cage in front of me. This cannot be my fate. I cannot have escaped one marriage, only to be forced into another.
What do you think Sebastian will do to you when he realizes my brother has had you first?
Says James.
It doesn't please me either. I am willing to overlook it.
My pulse accelerates again. Not only at the thought of what Sebastian might do to me, but also at the thought of what James will expect from his wife if I were to accept his offer. If I marry him, I will have to submit my body to him too. No, I will not do it. I will not marry you. Not now, not ever. James's face darkens.
I am the Wolf King.
You are the Wolf King because Callum allowed you to be.
A flash of pain bursts into my cheek, and my head is snapped to the side as James backhands me. My mouth fills with a metallic taste of blood, which sprays across the rug. Cold adrenaline floods my body. The backs of my eyes burn. I blink hard. I force my gaze back to James, my cheek burning and strands of hair hanging in front of my eyes. I will never marry you. He's settling back in his chair, his face like stone. Over his shoulder, I notice Blake watching. His expression is nonchalant, bored even. I catch a flash of darkness behind his eyes. When he sees me looking, he leans back against the window ledge and moves his gaze to the mountains outside. I feel another burst of hatred so strong that I fear I will combust. James whistles, and the door opens behind me.
Put the princess back in her cell, he says to the two men who enter the room, and make sure she is not comfortable. She needs some time to reconsider her choice and to be reminded of my mercy.
My arms are grabbed, and I am pulled to my feet. I have made my choice, I hiss, the taste of blood strong. I will never choose you. James's gaze moves back to me.
You have until sundown, at which point I will either ride with you to a chapel just north of here, or I will ride with you to meet with Sebastian. Don't be a fool.
He clicks his fingers in dismissal, turning his gaze to the roaring fire. I struggle against the men to no avail as I'm dragged out into the corridor.
Blake,
says James.
Make sure she makes the right choice. Do whatever is necessary. As you wish, Your Majesty.
Blake's voice is smooth and calm amid the chaos. He bows before following us out of the room. My hands are bound above my head. The metal handcuffs that hang from the ceiling bite into my wrists. I'm forced to balance on my tiptoes, and the muscles in my arms are screaming. I'm shivering violently. The damp air seeps through my shirt and into my bones. Only my cheek is warm, burning, where James hit me. My shaky breaths plume in front of my face, and I stare longingly at the flaming torch through the bars of my cell. I do not know how long I've been here, alone in the darkness. My stomach growls. It feels like hours since I last ate. Blake was supposed to make me change my mind, but he did not follow us down into the cell when they strung me up here. That snake has yet to make an appearance. I presume he thinks by leaving me here, in pain, and in a place devoid of hope, I will change my mind on my own. The burst of anger that provokes gives me something tangible to hold on to. I do not think my story will end happily, not any longer, but it will end on my own terms. I won't be forced into this marriage. I will not bed James. James will take me to the front line to hand me to Sebastian, and when war breaks out, I will run. I would rather take my chances. I would rather run wild and free with the wind in my hair and the grass beneath my feet than spend tonight as the wife of the brother of the male I think I am in love with, even if it ends in bloodshed. And I will not go back to Sebastian. Footsteps echo in the darkness. I jerk my head upright as Blake walks to the cell door. He's carrying a small flask. His dark clothing is pristine, but his hair is messy like it was the night of the storm. I wonder if he's stressed for some reason. Perhaps he doesn't want to torture me on James's behalf.
Hello, little rabbit.
My insides harden. I am trapped, vulnerable, yet I do not want him to see any weakness from me. I turn my head away from him, careful to keep my balance. I have made my choice. I keep the corner of my eye on him, though. It is unwise to look away from a predator. He opens the door to my cell and walks inside.
Are you afraid?
He asks. No, I lie. He leans back against the barred wall, slipping his arms through the gaps. The air in the cell feels thick, unbreathable. His presence fills the small space somehow. He tilts his head to the side, the movement almost cat-like as he watches me. My arms ache. I wobble off balance under his scrutiny.
Quite the mess you've gotten yourself into.
He says, you got me into this mess, not me.
I disagree.
He takes a sip from his flask, and my eyes snap to his throat as he swallows, suddenly aware of how bone dry my mouth is. He puts the stopper back in, then threads his arm back through the bars of the cell.
The way I see it,
he says,
you could be bathing right now in front of a warm fire. You could have eaten a hearty meal. You could be putting on a pretty dress and preparing to ride north. Yet here you are.
He looks around the dank cell with distaste.
Bound and chained, vulnerable, defenseless.
He makes a tsking sound.
That was your choice, was it not?
His expression darkens.
I've been ordered to make you change your mind.
Cold dread spreads through my body. I recall the hand-drawn diagrams I found in Blake's medicine books, and the depictions of torture that seemed like they came from experience. His eyes were cold when he told me what he'd done to his father. The wolves in this kingdom all seemed to fear him. What are you going to do to me? I ask. My voice sounds small. I wish it didn't. The corner of his mouth lifts.
Darling, I'm not going to torture you. You have nothing I need. I'm merely going to implore you to see reason.
I relax slightly, but the tension in the room is thick. I won't marry him.
Why not?
I will not be a pawn in another game between men.
You wouldn't be a pawn. You'd be a queen. Is she not the most powerful piece on the board?
His voice is a gentle, seductive caress, as dark as the night sky. How does this help you get what you want?
Who says that it helps me?
He cocks his head to the side.
Listen, I know what you're thinking. You think that during the fight that breaks out, you'll be able to slip away. You won't. Have you ever seen the front line of a battle? It is not a place many trained warriors walk away from, let alone little rabbits who have strayed far from their burrows. Even if you do manage to break free, James or Sebastian will kill you. You smell of wolf.
Blake's nose curls.
Sebastian will not let you live for that. And James will gladly kill you to take something from Sebastian.
He has an ulterior motive, I remind myself. I cannot trust anything he says. You're telling me this to help me, are you? You don't need me to marry James. The marriage was your idea, was it not? He shrugs.
Yes, that was my idea. But whether or not you accept him matters little to me. My game is already in motion.
What is your game?
Play with me and find out.
I calm my breathing, wondering if I can implore him to listen to reason. If it doesn't matter to you, why not let me go? Blake laughs.
I'm not your knight in shining armor, Aurora. I am not here to rescue you. I have given you a way out. It's your choice whether or not you take it.
A way out? You will have me submit myself, my body and soul, to a man I do not want. A muscle feathers in his jaw, though his posture remains relaxed against the barred wall of the cell.
He will not harm you.
Like he didn't harm me upstairs just hours ago. Blake's eyes moved to my cheek.
I didn't relish that, believe it or not.
I don't believe a word you say. Has anything you've told me actually been true?
I deceive often. But I rarely lie. I can recall being untruthful to you only once.
When? He shifts, crossing his ankles as he leans further back. The torchlight on the wall outside the cell flickers across his features. He seems pensive.
When we first met, I said I recognized you from the palace. I didn't. I hadn't seen you before in my life. I was only in the King's Guard for a couple of years. And I didn't spend much time in the palace. Though I knew from stories that your mother had red hair.
He shrugs.
Your identity was an educated guess.
My eyebrows lift. Of all the things he'd said to me that could have been lies, this was the least expected. Partially because I thought he looked familiar when I first set eyes upon him.
Accept James's offer,
he says.
You may not believe me, but I would rather you survive this.
I will find my own way to survive.
Very well.
He looks at me curiously.
I really wasn't sure which way this would go, you know. I didn't know whether you'd accept his proposal or not. Usually I can figure people out, but not you. On the one hand, you're smart. You've endured a lot, and you know how to survive. Yet you're also mind-numbingly stubborn, proud, and ill-tempered. It has made the outcome of all this harder to predict.
I narrow my eyes. I'm so sorry to disappoint.
Oh, darling, I'm not disappointed.
He removes the stopper of his flask and takes another sip. I swallow, my throat aching.
Thirsty?
No. He walks toward me, and my muscles harden as he stops inches away from me.
Don't be stubborn.
He brings the flask to my lips.
Here.
I jerk my head away, wobbling on my tiptoes. I try to get perches on the chains above my handcuffs, regaining my balance.
Come now, what are you?
I grab the chains and lift my body. I kick wildly at Blake. A surprised laugh escapes his lips as he grabs my legs. I swing and grapple with him. Ice-cold water from his flask spills down both of our chests.
Stop it!
Blake dodges my foot.
What are you doing? I'm trying to help you.
The muscles in my arms are taut and screaming. My fingers curl around the chains, even as the handcuffs bite into my skin. I jerk against him, determined to land a kick on him at least once, preferably between his legs. He drops the flask as I rear up again, and he grabs me. His fingers tighten beneath my thighs, and he jerks me toward him. My core slams against his hard torso, and my legs wrap around his waist. The laughter dies from his expression. His face is inches from mine. We're breathing fast. His muscles are taut. The air in the cell is thick and silent. And an emotion stronger and uglier than hate surges through my body. It is consuming, unbearable, dark and powerful and unfamiliar. I want to tear inside of myself and rip it out. Blake's jaw hardens. There is no humor, no amusement in his eyes. Only darkness. He smells like night, like the most dangerous part of the forest, like dark, forbidden places. His warm breath mingles with mine. His gaze dips to my mouth, and he swallows. If you kiss me, I will bite off your tongue, I whisper. He staggers back, dropping my legs, and I grip onto the chains to keep my balance. Something like horror or disgust twists across his face. Without another word, he turns on his heel. He locks the cell door, then disappears out of the dungeons. He doesn't give me a backward glance. My shirt is now soaking, and I shiver violently. My heartbeat rages. The memory of his grip lingers on my thighs. I hate him. I hate him. I hate him. I hate him. It's all I can think about for hours. My hatred is so strong that it dulls the pain. It stops my body from completely sagging and keeps me from freezing. And it urges me to survive this, to beat him. I start to form a plan that might get me out of this mess. When one of the men who brought me down here earlier walks to the cell door, I lift my head to meet his cold stare. I will not die tonight.
It's sundown, he says. I'm to take you to the Wolf King. He awaits your decision.
Chapter 55. I am taken to a room on the ground floor of the manor. It is dark and sparsely furnished. In one corner, there is a bucket filled with water. A white dress is draped over one of the tattered armchairs. The hearth is unlit, and the air is stale and bitingly cold.
You're to bathe, then dress, says my guard.
His voice is gruff and devoid of warmth. He has a dark beard, severe eyes, and wears the same green kilt that Robert and Magnus wear. I swallow, calming my racing pulse. I will get out of this. I will survive. I survived my mother's illness and the beatings from the high priest.
I came with Callum to the Northlands in search of my freedom. I will find it. But I must pick my moment. I must play this game and accept my role in it until the opportune moment comes for me to make a move. I nod. Very well. Wait outside, please.
Beeth, no.
Does he really expect me to undress in front of him? Are you aware of the choice your king has presented to me? I ask.
Aye.
I remember what Blake said to his friend when I awoke in the cell. He's territorial. It works in our favor. Was he talking about James? Then you know he has offered me a betrothal. I raise my chin. Do you think he will be pleased to find out you have watched his potential future wife undress? He clenches his jaw and glares at me.
You have 5 minutes, and if I can smell the Highfell wolf on you when I come back, I'll bathe you again myself.
He turns on his heel and walks out of the room, slamming the door behind him. I release a breath, and it plumes in front of me in the darkness. I rub my sore and aching wrists. The skin is red and raw from the handcuffs. Untangling the ball of nerves in the pit of my stomach, I scour my surroundings for anything that might be of use. The room is decaying and barren. There is no poker by the fire, no weapons in sight. One of the armchairs is covered with a tattered sheet. There's a layer of dust on the floorboards. I walk to the window. Even if it were not fastened shut with bars across it, I would not be able to escape through it. Outside, against a backdrop of shadowy mountains, wolves are gathering with their horses. There must be about 100 of them. Their voices seep through the thin glass, low and excitable. Men preparing for war. The night sky above them is lit by the moon. Although not full, it is brighter than usual. It is as if the moon goddess herself has come forth to watch the events of this evening unfold. It is a good job she is locked away in Knight's prison, because surely her favor would fall upon the Wolf King, not the princess of a kingdom that worships the sun. I turn away from the freedom that taunts me and walk to the bucket in the corner. I strip off my damp shirt and breeches. The water is ice cold, but the anger burning in my soul keeps me from shuddering as I lather up the soap and wash myself. As I do, I'm aware that I'm washing away all trace of Callum's touch. It fills me with a profound sadness. How could only a day have passed since I was in his arms, thinking we could be free together? How could I have been so naive to think I would have a happy ending? I recall Blake's touch as we grappled in the cell, his grip on my thighs, his mouth close to mine. I scrub myself harder. When I'm clean, I shiver as I pat myself dry with the towel by the bucket. I pull on the dress that has been laid out for me. My muscles harden as I realize it is the long-sleeved white dress I was going to wear to meet the Wolf King for the first time, the one Blake said made me look like a doll. Did he bring this here for me to wear? It serves both of James's purposes, I suppose. It is the right color for a wedding gown, should I accept his proposal. But it also signals an innocence I no longer possess, should he need to sell me back to Sebastian. I take a deep breath and taste dust and decay on the air. I smooth down the front of the dress, then run my fingers through my tangled red hair. I straighten my posture. I know what I must do. The door opens and the guard returns. He reaches for me, but I step back. I will not run, I say, meeting his hard glare. I am ready to meet with your king. He nods.
Fine.
He leads me out of the room. We exit the manor through a cold entrance hall and step out onto the grounds outside where the wolves are gathering. The wind whips my hair and ruffles my dress, yet I am not cold. I am too fired up with adrenaline for that. We weave through the crowd. Swords and daggers glint in the moonlight. My boots sink into the mud. The air smells like horses and male sweat, sweetened by the heather that grows in the surrounding mountains. A little way ahead of them stands James, with a large white horse. Its mane is the color of moonlight. He's looking away from his men, up at the sky. Not far from him, I spot Blake. He's dressed all in black,
and stands still among the chaos. The wind ruffles his dark hair. His expression is unreadable. A flash of anger surges through me. I walk to him and tilt my head. There is no smirk on his lips. He emanates darkness. "You will get what is coming to you, Blake." My breath plumes, twisting in the air between us. "Everything that you have, everything that you are, is built on lies and pretense and falsehoods. One day, you will make a wrong move, and it will all crumble around you. One day, you will be your own undoing. I only wish I could be there to see you fall." He brushes past me and weaves through the crowd toward the manor without so much as a word. A tornado of rage wells inside my chest. That is the last interaction we are to have. Does he not have anything to say to me? Is he even coming with us?
"Keep going."
The guard pushes me, and I stumble forward toward the Wolf King. James turns. All thoughts of Blake dissipate. I gather myself and stare at the more pressing threat before me. He's dressed for battle with a sword and a dagger on his belt. He's an imposing figure, standing in front of a backdrop of shadowy mountains with the wind stirring his shoulder-length hair. He arches an eyebrow.
"Well?"
I brace myself. "I have not changed my mind. I will not marry you. But I have another option."
"No. If you will not accept my gracious offer, there is only one other option available."
Before I can step back, he scoops me up and hoists me onto the horse. Panic fizzes inside my chest. "Listen!"
"Quiet."
His voice is hard and commanding as he mounts behind me. He hooks an arm around my waist, and my skin crawls. "Get off me!" I elbow him in the side.
"No."
He jerks me closer. He looks over his shoulder.
"Prepare yourselves, lads,"
he shouts. And silence falls among the walls behind us. Even I still.
"For centuries, they've stolen our lands,"
growls James.
"They've slaughtered our brothers. They've taken our women. How many of us have lost someone to that Borderlands cunt Sebastian? He is in our grasp tonight. His woman is in my grasp tonight."
Some of the wolves jeer, and my muscles stiffen.
"And tonight, we take what is ours by right. Brothers, look up at the sky. Look at how the moon shines for us. Look at how Yarloch lights our way and bestows her favor. It is a sign the Borderlands will fall. It is a sign the humans will bleed and the kingdom of wolves will be triumphant. So join me, brothers. Tonight, we take back what is ours. Tonight, we ride to war."
A grin spreads across his face.
"Let's go kill some southerners, shall we?"
Cheers resound through the night, sending chills down my spine. James jerks the reins of the horse. Then we're riding through the darkness, the thunder of hooves filling the air. "Do not struggle. Gain his trust. Propose your plan." I repeat the words like a mantra as I grip onto the saddle so tightly my knuckles turn white. The moon shines bright. It bathes the landscape in a ghostly glow as it blurs past us, lighting up peaks and lochs and wild swaying grass. The streams that flow down the mountains look like molten silver. They remind me of chains and shackles. I saw this landscape as freedom once. Now it taunts me with what could have been. I'm running out of time. "I can help you," I say.
"Quiet."
His voice is harsh. His arm is tight around my waist. His hold is not gentle and protective like Callum's. It is hard and unrelenting. It is the hold of a jailer, a monster, a king. "I know what you want, and I am offering..."
"I offered you the world, and you threw it in my face. There'll be no more discussion on the matter."
"Are you truly so stubborn?"
"Are you?"
He bites back. The hint of frustration in his tone gives me hope. There must be something behind his hard demeanor. "I know your enemy better than you do," I implore. "Will you truly not listen to what I have to say? By sunrise, there will not be another chance. He doesn't ask me to voice my offer, but he doesn't shut me up either. No one needs to die, I say.
Sebastian needs to die.
I have no love for Sebastian. I did not want to marry him. I left the borderlands with Callum to escape him, and I like him even less now I know what he did to your mother. A growl builds low in his chest. Yes, he should die. But your men do not need to die, I say. You don't need to die, and neither do I. Take me to Sebastian as planned. Hold back your men. Let me go with him. Give me a weapon, something small. I can get close to him without his guard being raised. If you wish him dead, then I shall kill him myself. You will send some men to retrieve me when it is done, and you will bring me back to Callum. He lets out a throaty, bitter laugh.
Even if I believed you had it in you to kill him, which I don't, why should I deprive myself of the pleasure of doing it myself?
Because lives will be lost if you choose to attack, the lives of your men. He swallows, and I wonder if he is considering it. But then his grip on the reins tightens.
I will not squander this opportunity. I will be killing Sebastian this night. That's the end of the discussion. You're lucky I do not execute you myself.
I love him, I say softly. I cannot marry you because I love Callum. The admission surprises me as it escapes my lips. It is as if it were trapped somewhere deep within my soul. And as it gains freedom, wisping away with a plume of my breath, some of the weight bearing down on my chest lifts. It is true, I realize. I love him. I may not know much about love. I may have guarded my heart and kept my emotions locked within me for many years now. But somehow Callum got inside me and made me feel free. And somewhere along the way, I fell in love with him. I may never see him again. I may die tonight. But I die knowing that truth and knowing the taste of freedom it gave me. In the distance, there are dots of light puncturing the shadows. Sebastian's men. My heart sinks. James pulls the reins abruptly, and the horse halts. I inhale sharply, wondering why we've stopped. He whistles, then dismounts, and strides over to someone who is on horseback. My eyebrows raise when I realize it is a female soldier. She hands something to him, a strap of some kind, and he walks back toward me.
Off the horse,
he says. Pulse racing, I slide down. My legs are shaky when my feet hit the earth. The rest of his men linger on the grassy land behind, waiting for their king's orders to ride onward. James pulls a knife out of his belt, and I step away, my back hitting the horse's body. The sharp blade glints in the moonlight, with the same dangerous intent that glitters in his eyes. His jaw is clenched, and every muscle in his body is taut as he steps toward me. He looks angry, furious, a monster of a man, a king of wolves. My breathing quickens. He crouches by my feet, pressing one knee into the muddy earth. He hoists up my skirt. Cold terror seeps through my bones, freezing me in place, even though my mind is screaming at me to run, to fight, to do anything but stand here, letting him do whatever he wants with me. He slips a holster around my thigh and tightens it, before sliding in the knife. The cold weight of it presses against my skin. He releases me, letting the fabric of my skirt cover me once more. His eyes snap up to mine. They're the same shape as Callum's, but darker and sterner.
I do this for my brother, not for you. At least I can say I gave you a chance. My men will still attack. If by some means Sebastian gets away with you, if you kill him, I will allow you back into my kingdom.
I swallow, then nod. A small knife is not much against an army, but it is better than nothing. And if I get the chance, I will gladly sink it into Sebastian's heart. Thank you, I say. He inclines his head, then rises to his full height.
Back on the horse.
He hoists me up, then mounts behind me. we ride onward. It is not long before we stop at the edge of the valley. The moon bathes the land below in white light, washing the color from the grass and turning the heather silver. Up here, we are concealed by tall trees that spill down the mountainside, enveloped by shadows and the scent of pine. I spot torchlight in the valley below. Borderlands men await. James sends one of his men down there to check Sebastian is among them, and to confirm they have the heart of the moon, fake or otherwise. How do you know they won't just slaughter you when you ride down? I say.
Because I knew Sebastian, and I have the daughter of their king.
I think you overestimate my value.
Let's hope not.
His voice is curt, almost a warning, and signals the end of our conversation. The rider comes back 10 minutes later and nods at James before rejoining the army. Nerves twist in my stomach. What if he's brought the real heart of the moon with him? I ask. I hear the menacing smile in James's voice.
Then we shift, and it will